Radio.
You know, they released it in the most, the deepest waters that they could have. It's like Thanksgiving dinner, and right next to the turkey, we've baked a chicken.
Are you insane?
They are insane.
In the hands of an adolescent, it is a sign of a bedtime cake.
Red Frosting.
It does like you.
Yes.
Hi, Christopher, I'm your own.
How you doing, Mike?
Here's Bob. Whoops.
Hi, my name is Mike McCafferty, and I just want to talk about Star Trek. But actually, I want to talk about something that I'm upset about, something that I'm miffed about, vexed, perplexed, consterned. Is that a word? Going through consternation? I don't know. To any extent, you shouldn't podcast angry. A great person once said that. Me, and someone has traveled through time and taken that phrase and seeded it earlier in the past so that I can now quote myself. That's what time travel is all about. That's what Star Trek is all about. It's all about taking things and putting them in the past or the future and then being totally cool with that. Doesn't change the timeline, just somehow fixes it. But you shouldn't podcast angry. And I'm upset. I became upset on Friday night parking my car in Burbank, near the Burbank Holiday Inn. Write that down. That's important. And up until that point in time, I was okay. But now, something snapped. It was literally the straw that broke the Denebian slime devil's back. And here it is. I'm angry at the Guardians. What Guardians, Mike? The Guardians of Forever? Many such journeys are possible. Let me be your gateway. No. No, instead, I'm upset at the Guardians of Star Trek. You heard me. The Guardians of Star Trek. Hey, Mike, who's that? I'm pissed at CBS and Paramount. It finally happened. It finally broke. This is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. You know that. If you're here listening to 30-some-odd episodes and of Star Trek, I just want to talk about Star Trek. And by the way, if you're searching for it on iTunes, you don't look for I just want to talk about Star Trek. You look for I just want to talk Star Trek. You take out the about. There was some weird thing that happened with Feral Audio when it transitioned from me to their flag station or whatever it is. I don't know. But if you go to iTunes, please, please, I beg of you, review this podcast or give it a star or five. Do that because it helps. We have to defeat the evil empire that is Trek FM. We're making good, powerful strides, but they have like 55 podcasts. And we can't take them all on alone. I need your help. Back to our story. I'm upset at those who have been the guardians of Star Trek, and they have failed miserably. It is the 50th anniversary, and I've been doing this podcast, and I've been doing everything I can to make it awesome, but some have not, and that's CBS and Paramount. Why am I coming to this right now? Because on September 8th was the 50th anniversary. And up until that point in time, I had some sort of idea that maybe CBS and Paramount was going to turn it all around and make this a great year. But one piece of news finally told me that was not going to be true. And that's why I stopped my car on Friday. You might be able to guess what it is. They delayed Star Trek Discovery. It was supposed to come out in January, February, and now they've pushed it all the way to May. Now, that may be a good idea. It may be prudent. From what I understand, they only had 3 scripts written, and they have outlines on like the rest of them. So there's no way they're prepared to shoot it. In fact, we don't even know if they have a cast yet. Right now, Brian Fuller is just talking in big, glowing generalities. Well, there's going to be a female commander, and there might be a robot, and there's going to be gay aliens and all sort of stuff. But there was nothing concrete, because we will have little spies, little birds. That's from Game of Thrones, but I don't care invoking that. We will have little birds who would tell us what was going on. So far, there's been nothing. Just announcements of, oh, Nicholas Meyer's doing this stuff. And that alone would be fine. But when I began to look back at the totality of what Paramount and CBS did and did not do this year, it pissed me off. especially when I cross-reference it by everything that I did this year. And this is about me. I got to be honest with you. This show is called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. I being Mike McCafferty. In fact, even in the picture, it says with Mike McCafferty. So I get to use myself as a benchmark for things. And this year, I have gone to Riverside, Iowa. I have gone to the Star Trek Symphony Concert. I have gone to Comic-Con. I have gone to the Vegas Convention. And I have sat on Vasquez Rocks on the 50th anniversary. And you know who was up there with me? Was CBS up there? Was Paramount? No, they were not. It was me and my friends. Was CBS or Paramount in Riverside? No. Was there a presence? Well, there was a presence at Comic-Con. I'll give them that. Was there a bona fide presence at the Vegas? Not really. It has been a paltry and pitiful showing by those who should be the ones who are most excited about this. This is their cash cow. This is it. Why do I have to be the standard bearer of this? Why do we have to carry the flag of Star Trek while they take our money? I am seeing limited to no effort by these two conglomerates, and it has gotten me angry. And you've just listened to a lot of that, and I'm sorry about that. I apologize. This is not your place to listen to an angry podcaster. Never podcast angry, unless it matters. In the future, someone will say that. I don't know how that's going to work. So I got really upset with that. I got bummed out. I got bummed out because it was going to transition nicely. I could hold off, you know, after September, you know, October, November, December. I have some plans for December I'm going to tell you about with Star Trek. And then we were going to hit Star Trek Discovery. We're going to get so excited in January, February. And now we have to wait until May. I don't know if I can do that. It has upset me. It has upset me that those with which we chose to place our faith in have let us down. But I don't want this to be a diatribe. So I'm calling in an intervention. I'm calling the doctor, Kim Miller, and she's going to talk me off the ledge. All right, let's do that right now. God, that's loud.
Hello?
Kim?
Yes?
Help me, Kim. Help me.
Okay.
Kim, it's Mike McCafferty from I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek.
Excellent.
Good. So I opened the podcast with like a 5-minute diatribe about how irritated I am at CBS and Paramount.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to either talk me off the ledge or incite me to start a revolution. That's your...
I think I'm going to incite you because I agree with you.
Oh, no. Oh, you can't do that. In every revolution, there's one woman with a vision. Mirror, mirror.
Dramatically lit across my eyes. Just
yes.
My eyes.
Just your eyes.
Oh.
So I was just...
I know. What's happening with the world? Why does nobody care? Why?
How, you know, when the 50th anniversary of Star Wars is going to hit, everyone's just going to, like, lose their minds, right? Everyone's just going to go absolutely bonkers, right? When we're going to have to be like a, like Jason, like, we don't have Jason McCarris on this one because he'll just think, you're a fool. You don't know what you're talking about. But and I need healing from a doctor, or I need a shot of adrenaline.
You need to go through these very agitated, aggressive thoughts, just like Riker.
Yes, this is my Shades of Grey.
To purge your anger. Horrible memories.
I have to remember about Into Darkness. Oh, no, I can't. Nemesis. No. Sub Rosa. There, it worked.
Original series episodes that get you that worked up. Or do you uniformly love them all? Are there any that genuinely anger you?
Let's see. Let's see. That Turnabout
Intruder. So bad that you're like, oh.
No, I love most of them. I enjoy Turnabout. Well, no, I enjoy most of them except for Turnabout Intruder, which is kind of a shitty, like, weird reverse feminism kind of show. that's just bad, you know?
Is that the one where he's sort of mocking these female mannerisms?
Yeah, well, that's where like Kirk's persona goes into Janice Lester, and Janice Lester becomes James Kirk, and he starts walking around all effeminately, William Shatner, like, this is how girls walk, you know, like, oh boy. Wah. So, and I say Sub Rosa, and I watched Sub Rosa a while ago. It's bad, but it's not terrible.
Yep.
If you think about like episodes like Conspiracy, is a great idea with bad execution. You know, it likes you.
Bad execution? I don't know what you're saying. It's, little stop motion creatures that climb up the guy's arm.
Exactly. Well, just and all the well, we are going to dig into Conspiracy, which is my favorite bad episode. It's so good.
I think that's one of the better ones.
Masks. Well, but see, like Masks and Sub Rosa, like those are bad ideas executed well. See, like there's a difference. Like Conspiracy is a great idea, which suffers from like bad acting and bad directing and bad special effects. Right. I mean, I know we'll go back. We love the acting because it's so over the top. It's so, you know, relish in your new body, Riker. You know, it's so black hat, you know. But like Sub Rosa and Masks, they're like in seasons 4, 5, 6, 7. And they're so bad, yeah. But they're produced so well. You know, I mean, like, yeah. Like all the
okay.
Masks, like,
I can see
like
that.
Yeah, they got the good sets in Masks and Sub Rosa, you know, they have a big, mm-hmm. you know, like they have a graveyard and, you know, smoke machines and good costumes. And I mean, so that's my reply to that. Maybe there's some TOSs I don't like, but.
Yeah, I want to hear more in depth on Turnabout Intruder someday.
Oh yeah, well I haven't watched it fully in a while. It's meh. I did watch Tomorrow is Yesterday. Is that where the Enterprise goes to like 1966 or something, and the airplane captain, the jet captain, gets beamed up?
Oh, is that with Terry Garr?
No, that's Assignment Earth. That's Assignment Earth. This is the one where like the jet fighter sees the Enterprise and he takes pictures of it. And then they beam him on the ship, and Kirk has no idea how to deal with time travel. He like takes this guy, this Air Force commander pilot, and he takes him on the bridge. He's like, "Hey, look at all this cool shit, right? Isn't this great?" And Spock's like,
"What happened to the prime directive?"
The prime directive, or the temporal directive, or anything of it. He's like, he is totally, completely baffled by like, oh, that's right. This could be my great, great grandfather. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, this is really horrible what you've done. And then they have to go back and get some footage. It's you know, it wasn't as bad.
Is that
as
where I your think. Favorite quote comes from? My son. Is that in that episode?
No, my son.
He tells him that his future son is going to do something very notable.
Well, he says my son a couple of times, like in The Changeling, he talks about Nomad as though it was his son.
Oh, that's right. Get you right here. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you know. My son is actually from Star Trek II, where he says, my son, what could have been, but wasn't. You know, it's when he's talking about David. So that's, you know, there's a lot of my sons. So it's, yeah, but... but see, this is good. This is good. You have redirected my anger towards different vectors. So it's good.
So what sparked this? Was it that article in Gizmodo? Or were you just kind of thinking back and all the effort that you put into this?
Yes.
Franchise, this world, this universe, and how little the corporate yahoos have put in.
Did you see that video? Like, because IO9 was it? Oh, it was Gizmodo or IO9 who put it out?
I just saw the article. Was there a video too?
Well, like Paramount or somebody. I think it was Paramount. They said it was CBS, but I think it's Paramount. Put out like a 1.5 minute video to celebrate Star Trek. And all it has is all the movies. So you see Star Trek 2 with the Nemesis and Star Trek 4 with Into Darkness. You're like, what the hell's going on here? And it just, it's like, that's what you...
the point of that? That came out, when did that come out?
It came out on like the on the day. Yeah, on the anniversary. It's like, hooray, we did it, 50 years. Here's a video that some intern put together.
Lame. Yeah, cranked out in one day.
Right, right.
Yes. who's never watched the show.
Hey, collect a bunch of footage and put some music underneath it because we got this 50th thing. I don't know exactly what it's something Star Trek. So that was a debacle. And as the article points out, why didn't they release this on the actual release date of Star, like the 50th anniversary?
Yeah.
You know, they released it in the most, the deepest waters that they could have. It's like Thanksgiving dinner, and right next to the turkey, we've baked a chicken. So go ahead and eat it up. It's really good. It's almost as good as the turkey. Like, what? What are you doing? You're trying to resuscitate this franchise. Don't take on Marvel Civil War. What are you doing?
Yeah, you think they have a financial interest in keeping interest in the whole franchise alive. Why did they put so little effort into it?
Exactly, exactly. So I was kind of giving them a lot of passes here. I was like, okay, I guess that's okay. I mean, I guess it's doing okay in China, Star Trek Beyond, but it's, I don't know if they're going to make another one. And so they blew it. They could have released it on September 8th and been like,
yeah,
this is the big 50th anniversary. Everybody show up to see this. And we might have, you know? There's nothing going on in September.
Why does it have to be released in the summer? Is it that important?
Well, I mean...
I don't understand. The whole larger discussion of the whole marketing cycle of big films.
You know, I mean, they're trying to get... I mean, the kids who aren't in school, which is ridiculous, right? I mean, are 8-year-olds going to
see... anytime.
Right. Are 8-year-olds really clamoring to go see Star Trek Beyond? No. I mean, they're going to see Marvel Civil War, which came out like right before that.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of blew that. And then CBS has been teasing this show for a long time. And like, we got a new showrunner. Well, we hired a writer. I mean, remember when we were at the symphony, the Star Trek symphonic thing?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, if you have anyone working on the new show, stand up. And that was like, what was that, May?
It was like in May or so.
Yeah. So now they're telling us that, like, when those dudes stood up, it's like, oh, we're part of the show. We can't tell you what part. Like, okay, well, like, you must be in accounting or something, right? Because no one else had been hired. That was not Brian Fuller or Nicholas Meyer.
Has there been any information released about why it's being pushed again?
Hold on. I'll bring up the official.
It was supposed to be January. Was that right?
And it was like January, May, February. Yeah, let me see. What is the... Let me read the official statement here. Yeah, you say something while I look things up. What did you do?
I'm rewatching Who Mourns for Adonais.
what are you watching?
I've been just rewatching Who Mourns for Adonis.
Yes.
However you pronounce that weird spelling.
Adonais when I was a kid.
Michael Forrest still alive. I'm trying to get Mike to get him on the show.
Yes,
you should
this
all tweet
true.
Him at Mike McCafferty. Michael Forrest is still alive. He's in his 80s. Of course, the actor who played Apollo has a strong San Diego connection, which I did not know.
Oh, well, yeah, you told me.
Performed at the old Globe Theater quite a bit.
Yeah, he's definitely an actor's actor. All right, I can't find it. All right. Well, I did, you know, and I've told you this, but I'll tell our listening audience that I had dinner with him one day, which was fabulous. I told you that, right? Yes.
I have not heard this.
Oh, my God, yeah.
What?
So
when? When? Where? Why?
So, like a year or so after The Invisible Man was done, I went to have dinner with Eddie Jones. He's like, you know, who is, for you guys, Eddie Jones is a great character actor. Go look him up. He was in Adventures of Lois and Clark. He's been in a bunch of stuff. And he was in a TV show I did called The Invisible Man. He was my boss. And we became friends afterwards. And he said, Michael, I want you to come over and have dinner. I was like, oh, okay. Sounds weird, but why not? So I went over. I was with him and his wife. And then who walks in but Michael Forrest?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because he knows him. He's like, oh,
I didn't know he was coming.
Oh, I didn't know, but Eddie knew. Eddie invited him because he knew I was a big Star Trek fan. And so I had dinner with Apollo. I told you this.
Fantastic.
How do you not know this? You know this.
I don't remember this.
I have
when was this in the 90s? Something like that?
No, it was in the 2000s. It was after Invisible Man, so it was like 2002 to 2004 at some point in time then.
What did you talk about? Did you freak out or were you playing it cool?
I was excited and kind of blown away and kind of like, how are you? You're Apollo. And he was super
Hera,
cool.
You were right. You just start quoting.
Zeus, Hera, you were right. Tell the others you were right. There is no room for gods. So whiny at
that. Pass the potatoes.
Michael, you were right. Oh. This chicken's delicious. Tell the others you were right.
What others? You take me.
And then he just fades away. Like, oh, Jesus, that's crazy.
Oh, how did you react? What'd you say?
I played it cool, you know, because I was like, in the episode, what'd you do? Hey. But like, he totally got it. We had a nice dinner. We were just jabbering. And then towards the end, I was like, I got to ask you some stuff. And he was great. He was talking about being on set there and how William Shatner came up to him on the first day. And he's a tall guy. He's a tall, muscular dude. And so the first day, little Shatner comes up to him, and Shatner's like, what, like 5'9 or something?
Little Shatner.
That's going to be my new animated series. It's like Muppet Babies, so Little Shatner.
Little Billy.
Little Billy, yeah. So he comes up to – Shatner comes up to him, stands like toe-to-toe with him, looks up at him and says, you're tall. And he never stood next to him again. Because he knows, like, if I'm next to him, I look like a little dude. So, but yeah, I it was just like a great conversation. That's like one of the few things I remember. So we need to have him back. I thought you knew that. That's why you were pressing about Michael Forrest. I'm like,
Oh, I just like him. I just like the episode and I like him.
He was good in that, wasn't he? He was a very convincing Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a signed, framed picture from him of him like standing over his like shed, his Apollo shed.
His temple.
I know. We talked about this last time. I know. If anyone listened to that. Did you listen to that to the podcast last podcast? Was it listenable? I don't even know.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I am still catching up.
What?
Ugh. I mean, I listen as soon as they come out. I have every responsible listenership.
Yes. Yes. I'm still not 100% certain that anyone's listening to this, but they have to be. Someone has to be because our listenership is growing, but there's no interaction.
If you're listening to this, especially overseas in the UK or Ireland or Spain, please tweet at Mike McCafferty and let him know.
Yes.
We have some sort of tangible proof.
Here's the deal. If you're from a different country, I want you to tweet me, and I'm gonna put you on the podcast. I want to know what Star Trek's like in a different country.
Actually, that'd be really interesting. Actually,
I know, right? Like, what is it like growing up in Ireland? What's
fandom like in Germany?
Yeah. So, please tweet me at Mike McCafferty, or you can go to the I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek fan page on Facebook. And see some of the cool, ridiculous things. We posted a funny video of me being attacked by the Gorn at Vasquez Rocks.
Which is awesome. You must see that if you do nothing else.
You do nothing else with this podcast. If you're getting ready to leave it, you need to watch that. And that will turn you around. I guarantee it.
And if you're from Ireland, you can ask Mike about his experiences in Ireland as a tourist. Pretty entertaining.
My Michael J. Fox story. It's always worth it. No, we'll ask him about Finnegan. That's what we'll talk to him about. Oh. Finnegan at length and Up the Long Ladder.
Totally. Oh, God. That Next Generation episode with a little bit of a stereotyped Irish character.
Oh, dear God. They had goats. They were running around. I mean, what?
And he talks like this, Captain.
He talks like this, Captain. Hey, hide, hide. I was like, oh, Jesus. I mean, I thought he was part Irish. Why is he, you know, like you could do that with no other ethnicity, like then or now, you know, I mean, maybe like Germans, I guess, back then or something, like Hogan's Heroes stuff. But, man, you pull that stuff even in the 80s, people are like, what are you doing? But somehow he's just like, oh, let's have a bunch of Irish stereotypes who are, you know, eating potatoes and sitting in the cargo bays with goats.
Oh, constantly looking to get drunk.
Exactly. Yeah, they're like, oh, where's the synthahol? You know, oh my God.
So please tweet at Mike McCafferty.
At Mike McCafferty or at Flibbadib, which is Kim's.
He still doesn't know.
What is it? Flibbadip?
Just go to Mike McCafferty.
Yeah, it's well, you've made it the most difficult. It's like a spelling contest or something.
I created it years ago before I anticipated it being broadcast to the world.
Well, let's make another one. Let's make, like, you know, Kim Miller Trek or something. You know, I mean, something that we can.
I shall consider it.
Oh, Captain Kirk, I shall consider it. This is great.
Where were we before we went off with, oh, you were ranting about CBS? I sent you that article. Did you see it?
Yeah, oh yeah, I read that before. Emailed it. Yeah, there's an article in IO9 that kind of delineated all this stuff.
I thought I sent you the press release because you were looking for it earlier.
Oh, you sent me the press release. Oh, I did not get that. You emailed it to me, or?
I emailed it.
How have you accomplished this? Simple logic. Oh, here we go. All right, so I'm gonna read this. So here's the problem. Here's what they say. Well, that's the exact same article I was looking at, but. Executive producers Alex Kurtzman and Brian Fuller say the high-anticipated Star Trek Discovery will now launch in 2017. The new premiere date is driven by the belief of the creative team that this gives the show the appropriate time for delivery of the highest quality premiere edition of the first new Star Trek TV series in over a decade and counting. I added that. They further add, bringing Star Trek back to television carries a responsibility and mission to connect fans and newcomers alike to a series that has fed our imagination since childhood. We aim to dream big and deliver. This is all written by PR. You know that. And that means making sure the demands of physical and post-production for a show that takes place entirely in space and the need to meet an air date, space and air, don't result in compromised quality. Before heading into production, we evaluate these realities with our partners at CBS, which means that CBS contacted them, and they agreed Star Trek deserves the very best, and these extra few months will help us achieve a vision we can all be proud of.
Hmm. What do you think is really going on?
Well, I think,
Or maybe that's really what's going on.
Well, I guess the question is, why did they say January or February? What has pushed it now? Were they unhappy? They might be unhappy with the scripts or the pilots. They may be unhappy with casting. Maybe they haven't found their cast. So,
yeah.
But the point is like here's some of the operative things. The first Star Trek series in over a decade. You know, you've had 10 years to plan for this. So. To suddenly like oh, we need 4 more months. We're not ready. Yes, you are. You are ready. You've been doing this for 50 years. You know how to do this. This shouldn't be a surprise. So
CBS, Paramount, two completely different entities. Is that right? So it's not like they had to wait until, we want to wait until Beyond is released before we do such and such.
No, they did have to wait.
How dependent are they on each other?
Contractually,
especially if they're two different story universes.
Well, contractually, CBS couldn't release a TV show until 6 months after a movie by Paramount. So, that's where you get like the January, February date, right? They're like, June, July, August, September, October, we're not going to release in December. We'll put it out in January, February. So that made some sense. Hmm. They need to get some space there. But you know what? The 50th anniversary started 50 years ago. You had time to figure this out. It shouldn't be awkward math, you know? Something's going on for sure. And you know what? And the end, if the end justifies the means, that's okay. But honestly, CBS and Paramount have dropped the ball. That's just all there is to it.
For the whole year.
Yeah, for the whole year.
You're saying you've done more for Star Trek this year than Paramount.
This is true. Well, yeah, this is true. I mean, I've been all over the country, and like every place I go, like in Riverside. Riverside is the birthplace of Captain Kirk. And it is accepted as canon. Like Paramount and CBS have all signed off on this. Why wasn't there a presence there? Why weren't they? What a great thing. Yeah. Why don't you fly out the whole cast of Beyond and have like Chris Pine in front of his little birthstone headstone thing? Huge. Like that would be like on every single like news feed. We'd all be like, oh my God, that's so great. You know,
Wouldn't that have been weird though? 2 months after the movie's come out. Or you think they should just push the movie?
Well, no, his birthday was before the movie. His official birthday, so Captain Kirk's official birthday is in March.
Oh, I'm confusing it with the first airing of the show.
Right. No. I'm talking about, they should have flown them out there either for his birthday, which is in March, which is going to be kind of snowy, whatever, or for the Trek Fest, which was in June. You know, that my delightful little Trek Fest there. Somebody should have been out there, but no one was out there. Except me. So I'm upset, Kim. I'm bummed. I'm irritated.
Well, what can we do about this?
Well, we've been doing everything we can. So we let's just pack it in. We're done. This is the last podcast. I give up. Right?
Oh no.
No? All right.
No. Somebody in Ireland at McCaffrey.
Hurry.
Tweet him back from the edge.
I need a leprechaun. Hurry. I need answers. Coming up, Jimmy boy.
Finnegan.
No, we are going to keep on going on this. And so are you. You're going to interview Lee Merriweather. That has been ordained. It's on the podcast.
No.
So we're trying to get Lee Merriweather, who is Larissa,
That Which Survives.
Yes, the third season episode. Not bad. It's an okay episode. And she was also Catwoman, and she was also in Barnaby Jones and the Time Tunnel and all this weird shows. And we're going to interview her, but I can't do it next week. So I'm sending my number one, my Riker, and Kim's going
to
do that.
Does it have to be next week? I mean, have you been in touch with her or her daughter or whatever?
Well, yeah. I mean, it can be the following week. It doesn't have to be. I mean, how much lead time do you need, Kim? I mean, this is not like a thesis, you know. This is,
people don't listen to this podcast for my nonsense, my poor audio quality and excessive laughing. No, they listen for you and your humor.
I don't know about that. I think you are the linchpin to all of this. I think you're the actual person. You are I'm the Baylock puppet, and you are the Clint Howard behind all this.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Kim, you're the Clint Howard. How about Clint Howard? Hell, when did you get him on?
Well, let's do that. Let's get him on. I mean, this is happening. We are. See, here's one other point I'm going to make about the whole Star Trek nonsense, which Paramount and CBS has done. So in addition to blowing this whole year, they've also crushed a bunch of independent like fan films, you know, like I guess there's a new Star Trek Continues that's just been released. And I can't wait to watch it. But there won't be any more because they say, oh, you can't do that. Meanwhile, they're not making content. They're just saying we can't make content.
Yeah.
What's up with that? So,
is there any other sort of franchise or something that has put those types of restrictions on fan films? Did anyone do that with Star Wars?
Star Wars has done that. I mean, they certainly have come down with something. But this was, you know, this was after years and years and years of fan films. And a very successful model for it, they kind of let it go. And then they're saying, I mean, they even gave out awards for best fan films at the Lucasfilm conventions. I mean, I accepted one for my friends one year. You know, they were so rubber stamping this. And now when it's at the height, at the 50th year, they come and they say, oh, no, these are our toys. You better give them back. So, so on three different levels, they've upset me. So. But we're going to keep on going. That's my...
Yes.
We have to.
We will keep making pilgrimages to Vasquez Rocks.
Yes. We are that which survives. That's what it is. And I teased something. I might as well just talk about this. I'm thinking about doing a Christmas show, Star Trek Christmas show. And I don't care if Paramount or CBS tries to sue me. Let them come. That's from Lord of the Rings, but I don't care. I'm thinking about calling a James T. Kirksmas. A James T. Kirksmas.
What are you going to do for it?
I don't know. It's like some sort of like, 1970s holiday special kind
Star
of
Wars
thing.
Holiday special.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. But more like he's like a Bing Crosby kind of character who welcomes all sorts of, special guest stars who stop by to share the holiday spirit. I think it'd be pretty good.
Fantastic. You can wrap up your year of Star Trek, your personal journey.
Yes, yes. It's, what was that? Was that you?
Your midlife crisis.
My
TV.
Oh, are you watching TV while we're podcasting? Oh my God.
No, I turned it off. I was watching Who Mourns for Adonis.
Okay, all right. Oh, you're not helping me. You're watching television while we're podcasting. This is horrible.
You're like some sort of interesting bacteria.
Yeah.
No. It'll all be fine.
What
you
was her
will
name?
Be the bridge between
Christine or Catherine or something.
I don't remember.
And then like that weird kind of like double photo exposure where he's coming
Carolyn,
at her.
Carolyn.
Karen. Mm-hmm. I loved you. I would have worshipped you like a goddess or something like that. Yeah, he was really a lonely guy. It was rough. It was rough for Adonis. Adonis.
You need to bridge the gap between this and this wasteland that we have between the release of Beyond and the next series.
Yeah, it's going to get rough now, isn't it? There's nothing left. We're going to do it, though. We're going to do it. I have faith in us, Kim. I have faith of the heart.
Nothing's going to bend or break you.
I don't know that part. I'm sorry. I haven't watched it that much. All right. Let's wrap this up because I have to work tomorrow. I actually have a legitimate job tomorrow. Yeah. I'll share it with you off pod, but I'm still keeping a look. You know what it is, but we'll tell them later. So, Kim,
all right.
You've talked me off the ledge or on the ledge, and we're going to continue. We have to.
I share your outrage.
Yes, our outrage is real. It's palpable. It is tangible, and it will be addressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you, listening in Ireland, tweet at Mike McCaffrey.
We will get zero tweets.
Let us know what you're going to do from the other side of the pond, what you can do to help us rectify this outrage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we will put you on the podcast. That's a promise. I want to talk to someone from across the pond or from a different part of the world. This is what we need.
Yeah. Portugal? Did you say you have listeners in Spain and Portugal?
We have listeners. I can pull it up right now. We have listeners in Sweden, in Colombia.
Oh.
In Australia, cool. Of course. I don't know why I said of course. So of course, Australia. hold on a second.
Very nice. All right, Germany?
Where is it? I'm trying to pull the information up.
England, United,
all right, I'll give you
Ireland,
All right. So in the last 30 days, we've had Brazil, 9 from Brazil, 6 from Germany, 5 from the Netherlands, 5 from France, 4 from China, ni hao, 1 from Israel, 1 from Korea, the Republic of Korea. Is that, which one's that one? That's South Korea, right?
South Korea, I'm assuming.
I guess, yeah.
Hello to our chingus in South Korea. That's the only Korean word I know is chingu, means friend.
I'm glad you said that and not me, because I would instantly be branded a racist. So we have an international flavor here, and we want to talk to you. Wherever you're from, as long as it's not from America, because we don't care about America anymore. We're done with that. No, that's not true. We have many people from Illinois who listen to us. From Washington.
Oh, you haven't broken down my state, really?
I didn't know that. I can do the whole thing. We have a lot from California. That's a given.
Yeah.
And then Illinois, we have a lot from. Michigan, that's some from Michigan. Florida.
No, Washington. Your people.
Yeah. Alabama. We have
65. My father was born in Alabama.
Oh. Okay.
My father.
I have a city by city. Mobile, Alabama, 65 listens.
Wow.
I have to believe that's one person listening twice to my podcast.
Who had trouble with his internet connection.
He just keeps on downloading.
Maybe finally went through.
or maybe he's died and it just keeps on reloading or something. You know, some sort of some dead body in Mobile, Alabama. If you're in Mobile, Alabama,
listener in Mobile, please tweet at Mike McCafferty and let us know why 65 listens.
Why are you listening so much? What are you doing? What's going on here? Who are you? Reveal yourself. All right. Thank you for listening to this angry, angry podcast. Don't podcast angry. That's a very famous phrase, Kim. But
is that like don't go to bed angry?
Pretty much, yeah. It's the same thing. It's very, you know, it's from the same guy. Same guy. All right. Well, thank you for listening. We're going to get through this. We're going to make our way through this briar patch, as invoked in Insurrection, this briar patch, a pain together, and we will emerge on the other side stronger. Because, Kim, what do we have? What do we have? Because we got to have
the faith of the heart.
Yes! That's what we have. All right, let's wrap this up.
Domestic tranquility.
Domestic tranquility provide for the common defense and promote the general welfare, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish these words, the words that follow, not just meant for Yangs, for the Calms as well. Calms. All right. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And we just want to talk about
Star Trek!
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand?
Error, flaw, imperfection.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah. No, blah, blah, blah!
I have heard every word you have said.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it, and here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right, Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior, happening discotheque. Remember when we call clubs discotheques? LOL, the 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome, not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced ve a pe in Spanish,
oh my God.
He spots his dear friend, who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.